Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. Thanks for returning to part two of this week's series with dear friend and spiritual soul sister, Tina Kivett. Now, if you recall from episode 20, Tina confessed she had felt called to experience a Native American ritual known as the Vision Quest, a four-day solo experience in the wilderness. No food, no shelter, no cell phone, nothing but water, clothing, a sleeping bag, and a tarp. Even the labels in her clothing had to be removed to prevent distractions. So, episode 20 concluded with the end of Tina's extremely long first day when she nearly, as she put it, bolted within the first 5 minutes of stepping across the threshold of her chosen Vision Quest site. Now, let's listen in as Tina shares the rest of this remarkable story and the gift she's still cherishing 1 year later. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in more information about a vision quest, I've included a link to Earth Visions in the summary of today's podcast. You go through this first day and imagine you've noticed what ants you have on your little circle and what bugs you have here and there and what you have, and all of this plays into everything. But tell us about that first night as the light is disappearing and the woods are becoming darker and darker.
So that's a good question for you to ask me, because I have almost a crippling fear of the dark.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I had been on many, many, many camping trips with Sam and Avella. We had been to Grand Canyon. We had been to Iceland. We had been to just almost every state park in North Carolina, it seemed, just overnight camping. And when it got dark, I cowered down into the fetal position in my tent, expecting bears and other wild animals to come and eat me alive. And I expected it every time. And I'm good during the day, but when it gets dark, that just crippling fear sets in of the dark. And that was one of my big concerns about being out there in the dark with no shelter, no tent. Even if I could get in a tent, I would feel, but no tent. I'm out in the open.
Exposed.
Yeah, under stars, exposed. So whatever wants to come and eat me can eat me, because I can't step out of this 10-foot circle to even run away. Well, no. I'm like, you know, yeah, down on the food chain right now in these woods. I am the lowest down there.
You know, but I hope you recognize the level of courage this took, because I don't think I can do it. All right, so how did you get through that first night? Did you sleep at all?
Interestingly, what I thought going into this quest that I would have trouble with, I did not. I thought I would be so afraid when it got dark that I would not be able to function and or do it. I would just go, you know, running for light anywhere. When it got dark, I can't really tell you what happened. I'm not sure, but I just crawled in my sleeping bag and went to sleep.
Seriously?
And there was no fear. There was no worry. I don't know if I was so exhausted and tired that I welcomed the rest and I welcomed the darkness so I could just quiet my mind. I think I just wanted my mind to be quiet so bad and get some rest mentally that I was glad that it got dark so I could sleep.
Okay.
And it was a full moon.
Oh.
An awesome full moon. So I remember waking up at some point during the night and I looked up like sideways from my sleeping bag and I thought Sam was shining a flashlight. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. Woods are on fire. He is coming to get me. I knew it. But it was the moon. The moon was shining and it was, I just cried. I lay there and just cried because if at home, I wouldn't have seen that inside my bedroom in my little cocoon inside the house. But I got up and I just walked and sang to the moon and talked to it because who else am I going to talk to? So
what
it was
connection.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah.
God, the moon. To go from this amazing fear to somewhat exhaustion and peace to welcoming the night and the experience with the moon and wow.
Yes, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Do you feel like that prepared you for day two?
You would hope so.
Oh.
You
we're going to get into some benefits of this, I'm sure, at some point. Okay.
So on day two, I struggled with the same issues. One, boredom, to be honest. It was like, you know, okay, I'm bored. But I'm bored with me because I'm the only one here. Nobody else is boring me except me. And then I'm like, oh my God, why am I boring myself? So I struggled with myself the whole time. What was, you know, going on in my head? I struggled with that.
Was there any time that you felt like, let me just kind of like go into like the quiet void of meditation and just try to quiet the mind? Or were you really there to kind of talk to yourself and hear your mind? What do you think?
I attempted, because I meditated a lot before I went out there, and I love to meditate. And I attempted to meditate, but I could not get my mind quiet enough. For some reason, it was still chattering too much. It was trying to force me out. It was trying to force me to give up.
Wow.
And force me that I couldn't do this. Why made you think you could do this? What are you trying to prove? Who are you trying to prove it to? Nobody cares if you do this or not. That little devil on that shoulder, I guess, but it was that inner darkness that I had.
Right.
That inner darkness is so loud. It was so loud.
So what did you hear, or what skills did you rely on to quiet that voice or to overcome that voice?
I think that the time took care of it.
Okay.
Just the more time I was out there, when you're in nature, you slow down. And although we had been out there 2 days before I even went to my site, I was still had a lot of nervous energy, just with what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I had really not slowed down as much as maybe, well, I don't know, you know, I shouldn't judge it. It was what it was. But I think the time of just spending time on the ground and letting that vibration change my cells and change the physiology of, mm-hmm. is that the right word?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Of my body and just slow me down to the point where...
your entire energy field, your entire auric field is affected by that frequency when all you're feeling and experiencing is that from Mother Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when that's just the awesomeness of touching the ground and touching the earth and being with nature and living like the animals live, they go to sleep when it gets dark. They don't stay up till 12, 1 o'clock. Why? I don't know watching why humans reruns. Do that. Watching reruns. They go to sleep, and then they're up as soon as the sun comes up. So you become almost like just another one of the animals out there on the landscape. I love to hike, and I love to hike the Appalachian Trail, some of it, and I haven't done all of it yet, but some of it. And I think it came to me the other day that the reason people are so attracted to hiking, and especially hiking the AT, is because it takes one, you're out there for a long period of time, and the longer you're out there, the more your body becomes more of what it is supposed to be.
That natural rhythm.
With that vibration.
The planet, yes. The natural rhythm.
So you become, yes, you right. get on the same vibration as the planet is. And you sometimes don't even realize it, but you just know that it feels good.
Right.
You just know that feels good. So you want to be there more. And it just takes a little bit of time to get there. And I think on the second day or so, I was trying to argue for my limitations and like figure out my escape route, because obviously the woods were not burning, so I had to let that go. He wasn't coming to get me. He wouldn't have a flashlight. There was no flashlight. He wasn't there. They weren't coming to get me, so I had to figure out another, because I'm pretty good at flipping a situation, as Novella tells me, pointed out to me. So I'm like, okay, what's my escape route? And I'm like, okay, well, this is Easter, right? Even Jesus rose on the third day. So I think, you know, 2 days and the third day, I'm out. You know, I'm going to rise.
Right.
Even if Jesus didn't take 4 days, so why should I have to be here 4 days?
There you go.
Yeah. So that was, so I was thinking of everything I could to get out of this situation still. I had still not come to grips with it. It would come and go. It would come and go. But I was, I was still convinced that you can't do this. You know, you can't do this for 4 days. I hadn't.
All right. What was the moment? What was that moment where all of a sudden you flipped, not that flipped, but the meter moved, and suddenly you realized, I can do this.
Yes.
I can.
And I can pinpoint, but the birds. The birds came to me.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I gotta hear this.
I know.
You know I love my birds.
I know.
Okay.
There was a very unnormally big woodpecker that I did not know woodpeckers got that big, and I thought, okay, I've totally lost it now.
You're hallucinating.
I'm hallucinating. but there were two woodpeckers, the most beautiful woodpeckers, and I thought woodpeckers just like hung to trees, but this one was walking across the ground very close to me. And When you stay out there for a period of time, you also, your vibration is, you know, kind of similar to theirs, so they don't notice you as much, and you can just sit still, and they will just move around you. The animals and the birds would just move around you. So I was very still, and that particular time, tons of birds everywhere. I just watched the birds, and I listened to their singing. There was one particular bird every morning that would make the same little song, and he would wait for someone that spoke his language to sing back to him. And he would not give up. He did not give up until another bird would finally sing with him. And it dawned on me that, you know, when people speak the same language, how wonderful that is. And I thought, that little bird's not going to give up. and he's going to sing like this. And I will have to admit, at one point, I was like, why? What are you so happy about? Why? What is going on up there in that tree that is so wonderful that makes you sing like that? But I soon found out. So I think the birds were the, when it shifted, that's when it shifted for me. And I got steel. My mind.
Gosh.
Oh, I got cold chills.
I know.
My mind got steel and my body got steel. I didn't pace as much around the circle because it's, you know, at some point you pace around your circle and you actually form a rut in the ground.
Sure.
And I wasn't pacing as much in my mind. The time changed. I wasn't, the days weren't as long. And I realized at that point that my cells had changed and my soul had changed.
Okay, now I'm gonna cry. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yes.
This is powerful.
Yeah. And I didn't do any. I mean,
no, we're both crying. I should have brought tissues. Should have brought tissues.
I didn't do anything to bring that on.
Yes, you did.
I was just there.
You showed up.
I showed up.
You showed up.
I stepped in the circle.
You showed up and you didn't give up and you were present for the birds.
Yeah.
Who had all these gifts to share.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I like to think that they were just kind of waiting for me to quiet myself and quiet my mind so that I could see them.
Right.
If I had not been still and quiet, I don't think I would have seen them.
The woods were filled with birds all the time. But this time they were even closer. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about when we get back into a natural rhythm with the planet, then nature, you know, is in us, feels a safer relationship with us.
Yes.
Because we're all vibrating at that point on the same frequency.
Yes.
So of course they would come closer. Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I like to think that they feel like they can communicate with you, that you're listening
right
to them, that you hear them. And we go through life so much, just so distracted and not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And not paying attention and not looking for the birds and not looking for signs. And we miss so much.
And in Native American culture in particular, every creature has symbology. And at any point were you thinking about the, you know how I am the metaphor queen.
Mm-hmm.
So at any point were you thinking about what woodpeckers represent or maybe what the wren represented or any other birds? Was any of that going through your mind, or were you just being in the moment?
At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't think about that. I was so happy to have a companion.
Right.
I was so happy that they chose to spend time with me, that I wasn't thinking about the symbolism or the metaphors of it. When I got home, I have a bird feeder right outside of my kitchen window, and I think the day after I got home, a woodpecker came as I was standing at the window just looking out, and a woodpecker came and landed on the bird feeder, and that's the one and only time I've seen him. So,
oh my goodness,
I just stood there and
magic.
Cried again because it was just a sign again that you're cool. You're all right. You did this.
You did it. You did it.
You are a badass. You did do this.
Well, you are a
badass. And you're changed from, and you're different. It changes. It changed my cells. It changed my soul. It changed the rest of my life, honestly. It changed how I now move through the rest of my life.
Can you describe that a little bit? So you come out of this experience, and then all of a sudden, it must have felt maybe a little uncomfortable to step back into what we feel like is the world.
Yeah.
With all the noise. And can you describe that and then describe what this past year has been like?
Yes, I will try.
Okay.
So when I stepped back into society, I'll call it that for just, okay, you know, to include everything. It was very difficult. I knew in my heart and in my soul and in every part of my being, I knew that something had happened to me sitting in that circle against those trees in those woods. I knew something had happened to me that would make me different for the rest of my life. I couldn't put a word with it. I couldn't put an explanation with it. I just knew that something had happened, and I was going to be different. And when I came out back into society, I really struggled so bad, because as it was almost like it had reversed. When I first went into my quest site, I wanted nothing more than to be back into my normal life. And when I left my quest site to go back into my normal life, I wanted nothing more than to be back there.
Oh, okay.
Nothing else. And I adore, you know how much I adore my family.
Oh, I know.
And my friends.
I know.
And I love them with
every... We all adore your family.
And, but what I got there in that site... that's all I wanted to touch.
Hmm.
I don't want to say that nothing else was enough, because that kind of sounds bad, but it was, I craved that. I wanted to touch what I felt there. I wanted to touch that again. And what was so confusing is I didn't know what it was. It was like, how can I want to touch something that I can't really even figure out what I want? It was very confusing, extremely confusing. And I came back into my normal life, and everybody had gone along with their normal routine for a week. And I couldn't find my place for a little while. I couldn't figure things out. There was too much of everything and not enough of...
The peace.
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh.
There was not enough of...
Oh, now you're going to make me cry again.
We're crying. There was not enough of just sitting there and being nothing. There was not enough of that. And I struggled for months. I really did. And I journaled. I don't know... I just journaled as much as I could, and I would write words that I don't even know where they came from, and I would read back what I wrote, and I'm like, I don't even know who wrote that. But it, you know, I can't live in that little circle physically, but I live in that little circle in my mind and my heart every day. So I go back there all the time.
So is it a stretch to describe it as a deep connection to Source?
Yes.
Creator, God, yes. Whatever anyone wishes.
For me, it was.
Okay.
For me, it was.
Well, then of course you would. Oh my goodness. Yeah, now everybody's going to be clamoring and wanting to go on a vision quest. Oh my God. So you reached that point and that connection. Oh, now I'm going to start crying. Okay.
Yes. Mm. And again, I want to really, really stress that that was my quest. Right. That was my quest. And that was my experience. And everybody's is different. Everybody's is totally different. Very, very different.
It really is. I mean, you know how often I meditate. In fact, we're doing this interview in my meditation room mm-hmm. right now. But it really is a challenge in this physical world we have with all the noise and gadgets and distractions to go into that quiet and that place that allows for that deep, solid connection back to source. But once you tap into that and once you feel it, mm-hmm. you know what that feels like and you know when you're there. Does yes, that make sense?
Absolutely.
So when you say you can still go back there and you yes. do as often, you now what you seem to have gained is what that feels like.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's priceless.
And I know when I go there again, I know what that feels like to be there. So I know when I tap in to it, when I get there, I know what that feels like in my body. I know what it feels like in my whole being. And I try to just, you know, do it as much as I can. And I know it's there. That's the great thing about it, is I know how to reach it when I want to.
Wow. That certainly was a gift. Well, Tina, thank you so much for driving all the way over here 5 minutes and sharing even stories I hadn't heard yet about your amazing Vision Quest experience. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And now we are going downstairs to eat Chinese food.
Chinese donuts.
Thank you. Love you, girlfriend.
Love you.
I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to accept your gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.